And opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hey, man, you hit it out of the park on that one. Who's that?
Toby Keith.
Oh, of course. Wait, yeah, what's the name of it, though?
Made in America.
Got it. Okay, I think I've got that one. Anyway, I must not have listened to it lately. Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Man Up. That's right, the fourth Thursday of the month, and we are here. We've got a guest here tonight that listened to, she heard it, and he says, I want to be on that show. And I went, well, hell yeah.
we'll take you.
Yeah. Okay, hey, welcome to Man Up. I'm Carl Bott, and Perry Crimmins, one of our usual guys, is here. Ted Lighty is on his way back from a big moose hunt, and he's like 20 hours out.
And carrying moose parts.
Carrying moose parts with him. And then Chris Kellstrom, Shasta County Supervisor. We're not going to be talking local politics.
Perfect.
And because it's Man Up.
Yeah.
And tonight we have a bourbon. It's called, well, tell us about it.
Well, it's a Weller 12-year. So it's a weeded bourbon, aged 12 years, and it's, they tell me it's pretty good, and it is.
Did you know to be bourbon, you can only use the barrel one time? Did you know that?
But it's got a couple other rules, too. I think I may have read that, but it can only be corn, right? For bourbon, is it corn?
It's one or the other. I can't remember.
Or is it?
But that one fella from Texas that was on the show.
Yeah.
He sure told us a lot about bourbon.
Yeah. And you've got your blended ones. And then, yeah. But to be
an actual bourbon, an actual you can only use a barrel one time.
One
and
time.
And usually sell them to Chardonnay makers after that.
I'll be darned. That's how where they get those bourbon barrels then.
Yes. And yeah. all the liquor that comes out of the still, it's all clear. Everything. You get the color from the barrel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've been studying up on this before you got in here.
I've been to Denny Bar Company up in Etna a few times, and they give you a tour there, and it's pretty amazing.
It sounds like you're a little late to this show. We knew you a while ago.
We could use you 2 years ago. We just come in here and just. Yeah, that's some good stuff. Hey, you know, we're here once a month, and of course there was this terrible assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Horrific.
And I was at the Pendleton Roundup, and my daughter calls me. I'm, you know, middle of the Roundup out there. And she says, Dad, did you hear the news? No, and we've been kind of like cut off here. And she said, Charlie Kirk was shot and killed. And it was just like, wow. And the next night, they did a Charlie Kirk thing. At the Roundup. But the impact it's had, not just here in the United States, but around the world, was very surprising to me because I was not a Charlie Kirk follower or anything. But I found out that both my grandkids have been influenced by him, and my grandson, who's going into the trades, one of the reasons he did it was because he with things that Charlie Kirk said.
Yeah.
I had no idea what an impact he was having on the younger people in our country in the sense of, I mean, I'd heard that Donald Trump was very appreciative of his efforts, and you see the reels where he's out there in front of, he's on a university campus. And I will say this, I never saw him lose his temper or get excited when people were calling him names.
There's one video out there that when I saw it on Facebook, and of course with the lead into it, it was that he was yelling at an Asian woman. And when I watched the video, I thought, oh boy, that's disturbing. That's not like him. Come to find out, he was yelling at an economist whose name was spelled C-E-N-Q, I believe, and pronounced as if it was a racial slur towards an Asian person, and it was totally taken out of context. And so if anybody out there sees that video, he's not yelling at an Asian lady. He's calling a guy by his given name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, he was, it was amazing the way that he just gave people the benefit of the doubt, and his argument, he was solid. The dude was I watch them quite a bit, you know. And heck, I'm 63 and I still follow. Just the way that he explained things and the knowledge and wisdom he had at 31 years old.
And never
well, he started that when he was in high school.
Yeah.
And people make a big thing out of the fact that he didn't have a college degree.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, he doesn't have a college degree, but it doesn't mean you don't read and you don't understand what you read. And, I mean, you don't need a college degree to be a very learned person.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be able to hear the other, but the big thing for me, for colleges or universities or even our high schools, is that you can hear the other sides and you hear other arguments that is diametrically opposed to yours. But not in such a sensible way that it's an attack on you. To call you a fascist or a Nazi because you don't agree with somebody is just totally wrong.
Well, one thing, it's really, I mean, it truly is a turning point at this time because, you know, he was hoping to get up to 20,000 chapters of his group, Turning Point USA, on
yeah.
college campuses. Last I heard, he's at over 68,000.
Requests to start.
Including them. Right yeah. here. So I just talked to a young man today that's the president of the one at Shasta College. They have one at Simpson. I believe I heard Shasta High School, Foothill High School, and Central Valley High School, I think, have all gotten
and requested to have a charter there. Well, did you hear in Oklahoma that, as you know, in Oklahoma, every county's red.
Yeah.
But they're talking about every school.
Yeah, I was
in Oklahoma.
I was in Oklahoma last weekend.
Is that what they're talking about? Every school in Oklahoma wants a Turning Point chapter.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, this is a huge impact. And, you know, when they had tens of thousands of people marching in England about Charlie Kirk, and Australia and New Zealand, which are very, very, as we know, liberal places. But the impact of it, 70,000, 80,000 at his funeral, and then plus in the arena, the hockey arena, and out in the parking lots and everything.
They estimated 300,000.
And millions watching.
Yeah, lots of downloads on the streams.
Yeah.
And they say that attendance in church has jumped tremendously.
Because
he was and that was the other thing I didn't pick up on him, was that how religious he was.
He was God first always, and that's,
yeah.
I didn't realize how totally enthralled in politics he was. You know, went to foreign countries and talked to foreign leaders and was in the White House regularly. And, you know, I knew his faith and his debates with the college kids, but it went way, way beyond that.
Yeah, and he almost always kept his cool. He always was calm, cool, and collected and just answered them with facts. And, you know, and I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen a video where anybody got the better of him.
No.
I think he said the toughest place he was ever at was Oxford.
Oh.
And I saw one of
a
repartee going back and forth, and the guy on the other side was good. He was good, young guy.
Yeah,
he was good, and Charlie was being pushed a little there.
I like the ones where he had the students that like came to a round table, and they all had like a timing thing.
Yeah,
and,
that was one I saw was at Oxford there.
Yeah,
but so there's others
and,
too.
And the other people in the, there was like 20 people at the table, and if someone was, you know, people come up with dumb subjects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they start getting these cockamamie stories, and the rest of them would raise their flags, and that person was out. That means, you know, you're not making a good argument, and it was good. They really monitored
it. That was interesting.
Yeah, early on, like,
seen that.
Like 10 years ago, he had a really hard time because he would try to make an appointment at school to have one of these rallies, and, I mean, they would just protest and then, you know, burn stuff down. I mean, just completely go insane. It's like, what are you afraid of? I thought you believed in freedom of speech, you know, but yeah, they don't believe in freedom of facts often, so.
Well, you know, and then but now you have to wonder about people like Riley Gaines, who, you know, is also a little bit of a lightning rod with her stance on men and women's sports, even though the vast majority of the United States agrees with her about that. So now you have to kind of start wondering about, you know, this cult of assassinations, because this guy that shot up the ice facility had the rounds that they found up there were marked, you know, down with ice, and they said it had studied or looked at, you know, a lot of the videos about the guy that shot Kirk. So yeah. You got to start.
Yeah.
And they're both using bolt action rifles.
Yeah. So yeah, what happened to the ARs, right? These assault weapons that are so deadly, right?
Yeah. They called for gun control. This bolt action rifle that the Kirk.
It was Grandpa's hunting rifle.
It came from World War I.
Yeah.
You know, no serial
number. Mauser action.
Yeah. no serial numbers or anything on it. But when his dad saw a photo of the rifle, he knew right then.
He said, "That's my dad's gun."
Yeah. And that was one of the things this guy had said in his text was, "Oh, I've got to get that gun back to before Dad knows it's missing. It's his grandfather's gun or something like that."
Can you imagine how hard it is to actually turn your son in for something like that? The right thing to do, but how that has to weigh on you?
You see it every so often where parents have turned their kids in for horrendous crimes.
Right and, is right, but it's, left is
yeah. Well, they should.
They should. But he knows what's going to happen. He knows if this thing is taken out to the final episode, that his son could be in front of a firing squad.
Yeah,
but
or he could have been killed in when he was apprehended.
He brought him in though. He's,
right, but I'm saying if it would have strung it out to where he was a fugitive or something. You know?
I applaud the father.
So do I.
Absolutely.
My dad, may God rest in peace there, but my dad would have turned me in a heartbeat. Not that I would have ever done anything.
That was after he whipped you.
Yeah, even though he was half a foot shorter than me. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we got to take a break here, but it's that type of thing, and I think people put money in for this guy's defense. He turned it all over to...
The parents did.
Turned it all over to Kirk's widow. Yeah. It's like $1 million.
God bless him.
Yeah. Okay, time to take a break. And we'll be right back after these messages. Hey, this is Carl and Linda. When we want to get away and have a staycation, we go to our favorite place, and that is Holiday Harbor at Shasta Lake.
Check out the best rates on the lake for ski boats, houseboats, fishing boats, and all of your water toys.
Holiday Harbor's off-season rates are a great deal. Plus September and October, the fishing's great.
Relax and enjoy your Shasta Lake experience by calling Holiday Harbor, and you can also find them at lakeshasta.com.
Holiday Harbor. Call 530-238-2383.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday Mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
It's that time again for the Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Reading Rodeo Grounds with free admission for all ages. It's the return of beautiful dancers, the feel of powerful drummers, all from across the nation. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter Family, Reading Rancheria, Wind River Resort and Casino. This station and other proud sponsors.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Hey, welcome back to Man Up here at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station. I'm here with Perry Crimmins and Chris Kellstrom, Carl Bott here. It's hunting season, guys.
It's fall for sure. Yeah.
And Perry, of course, is the owner and chief guide for Just for Hunting.
Yeah.
And so the season started for you.
It has. It has. Some bow and arrow stuff has already gone off. The rifle season started here locally for deer.
Uh-huh.
So people, that's why you see people out in the woods a lot now, the woods that were bare all summer long.
And now, and Chris, you were talking about antelope hunts.
Yeah, well,
and we were probably in the same area there at different times.
We were, yeah. You were on that one big giant ranch on the north side of 80. Yeah, so I put in for that zone, and I didn't get drawn, so my buddy did. And so he got his one buck and two does. He could have gotten four does. So he got me leftover tags on the next one, you know, next thing across. We've never been antelope hunting, never been to Wyoming. You know, we got there Friday morning after driving overnight through the night, and then had breakfast, went and shot his three, took him to the locker, spent the night. Went and shot mine three in the next zone, you know, took them to the locker, spent the night. Sunday, we had nothing to do. And Monday morning when we were packing up to head back to California, there was another group of hunters that had been going out every day. So I asked them, I said, well, how'd you do? And they said, oh, we did all right. And there's five of us. We all got five. And it's like, you guys came across the border from Colorado, and you shot 25 antelope in a three-day weekend, and you're going back home. And I'm like, why am I wasting my time in California?
Well, you know, the thing about it, little bug coming across the table here, probably out of that.
We were hunting.
We were hunting, yeah. You know, when I went there, and people go, well, that seems like a lot. Well, there were at various times, and each year is different. You can, you draw your buck tag, and to take a doe tag, I mean, it's like $50.
Yeah.
You know, and how many do you want?
And if you take a kid, it's like $10.
Yeah. And, now other years, it's harder to draw and the prices go up, but they really keep track of the antelope they have there.
Well, they get paid for everyone comes off the ranch. You know, remember those little boxes at the cattle guards on the fences?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You put a little portion of tag in there and the ranchers get paid.
And then they have, these processing shops set up during the antelope season. You take your antelope in.
It's like nothing you've ever seen.
They've taken, they're already got them skinned by the time you walk into the office. And then the office will say, well, what do you want? You want burger and you want this and this and this. And you fill out the boxes, pay for it. And, when you, you know, and then they flash freeze them.
Uh-huh.
And so that when you come back next day or the day after, you can pick up your antelope and go home.
And we did that too.
We drove straight through on the way back.
Yeah, and a lot of the other seasons open at the same time. So I remember going there, and they've got these barrels, and there's antelope heads in there, and elk heads, and there's deer heads.
Oh, yeah, people were bringing
deer
their elk. Yeah, that's right. There was pickup trucks with an elk in it, and all, you know, and it's like, but they only opened this facility up during the hunting season, and then they shut it down.
They actually have a service now that it's like a refrigerated semis. The guy goes around the entire United States picking up frozen game and delivers it to other parts of the United States.
Hmm.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
No, it's not inexpensive, but probably, you know, we all know hunting's not inexpensive anyways. Once you put the dollar
to it, $100 a pound. You know.
Yeah, it's.
That was one of the things I read and when they changed the name from California Fish and Game to California Fish and Wildlife. And I remember I was down in the Sacramento area, so I'm reading the Sacramento Bee, and I'll never forget. I was just fuming. I was furious because they're writing this thing and they're saying, well, you know, it's not just about game, you know, the bird watchers. In fact, bird watchers spend more money every year than the hunters do. And I'm thinking, are you out of your mind? They buy one Audubon book. I've had my same Audubon book for probably close to 50 years. They buy a set of binoculars every 10 years. And it's like, how much do you spend, Perry? Yeah. I know how much I used to spend.
Yeah,
it's like,
well, you, a lot more than that.
Okay, so you were out on the archery for antelope.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having hunted antelope several times, antelope have got tremendous eyesight. I mean, you've really got to be into a spot, you know.
Sit in a blind on water.
It's like kind of like that.
That's what you do. They come to drink every day.
Well, that's how you hunt the.
Some areas you can stalk them, you know, if you have some terrain undulation and maybe some taller sagebrush.
Yeah.
But where we were, it was like, you know, the desert in southern Idaho. So we were sitting in blinds.
Have you ever used the cow decoy?
I haven't used the cow decoy, but I've used the cow decoy on pigs before here locally, but I've used the antelope decoy on antelope.
Okay.
And it brings them in.
Does it bring them in? I heard that you put up a stick with a flag on it.
Yeah, they're very curious.
They're curious, and that sometimes will have them come in and take a look at that.
Well, it's not hard to get them into gun range now.
Well, no, people are making 800-yard shots. You know, the thing about it is if they knew you were there, and they didn't run.
Yeah.
But they always stayed 500, 600 yards in front of you. You know, you come out and stick your head up and they're 500 yards away, and you get, you know, you go down trying to, okay, I've got them cut off. Stick your head up. They're still 500 yards away. I mean, it was interesting to see how that was.
Yeah, you'll like this, Carl, because we always talk about the local elk on here. And, so the elk's going on right now. And so it was about
elk hunting's going on right now.
Yep, here in California.
In California, okay. Yeah.
So on,
I don't hunt a lot.
And we were blessed to draw a landowner tag on one of our ranches.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy bow and arrow hunted it. I helped him a couple of days. Called them two bulls in, one each day. I helped them, and unfortunately, he missed with the bow and arrow. But then I helped another landowner that had a tag also, and called an elk in for him, and he got it. But called it in from like, I checked it on my Onyx. It was 1.3 miles. It came to the goal.
Ooh, mating season.
Yeah, it's what the difference is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite trips every year is I'd go out during the rut and just, you know, I can't shoot them, but I can shoot them with a camera. And, I mean, you'll see things in the rut you'll never see when you're deer hunting. You know, and as long as you don't spook the doe, the buck couldn't care less.
No, it's – yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's awesome just to go out and watch them in their natural environment, kind of reacting when we used to when we were 23 or 24 at 145 at the bar.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't care what you say. I love you. I do love you. I'll marry you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Because you think of buck deer, and I mean, most people, if they're not hunting them, they're very elusive. They're very elusive. But you do get them in the rutting season, and their mind is not on escape.
No.
Yeah.
So anyway, and some people say, well, that's not fair. Well,
that's why we can't hunt them here in California during that time. But that, they hunt them everywhere else, but mostly whitetails, but they hunt those all during the rut. But here we don't do that.
Now, see, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. There's a few special hunts here.
Okay.
Very special, yeah.
You have to draw them like
muzzle loaders,
you know, 15 or 20 points, you know, which each point is a year.
No.
So, yeah. And there's like 10 tags or something for a unit.
Is that right? Well, for the deer, unless you buy that. What is it? Golden tag?
Golden opportunity tag? Oh, yeah.
So there's golden opportunity, and then there's private land management.
And there's a governor's tag, too,
The governor's tag. So golden op is the governor's tag, and then they have what's called an open zone tag, which means you can hunt any open deer zone.
Yeah.
You know, which, whether it's like up in Alturas during muzzleloader, you can hunt that one, or down in
Is it only good for one animal?
One animal.
Okay. And people pay a lot of money for these.
They do.
I think I was sitting at one, like, 12, 13, 14 years ago when I first moved here. And this guy was sitting at a table. We were kind of like in an overflow table. And I'd been asked to bid up this one rifle. I'm not going to say by who. And when I put the $4,000, when I held my paddle up the first time for $1,000, Linda looked at me. And when I had it up to like $3,000, now she's really looking at me. She goes, you want that rifle? And I went, trust me. That other guy over there wants it a lot more than me. But I stopped. I think I stopped at 3,000 because I was starting to get a little worried because he was looking at me going, well, I was thinking, what if he gives up?
But
this guy sitting at the table wearing a Caterpillar hat, he bought that golden tag for like $17,000 back then.
Yeah.
And now they're
about 30 or 40, aren't they, Perry?
Oh, yeah. I think the one at the Mule Deer Foundation last spring sold for $37,000.
Yeah. Well, he shook my hand and his palm was wet. And I was thinking, he wasn't showing a lot of emotion while he was bidding. And I was thinking, you just spent $17,000 for a deer tag.
Yeah. And you're worried about a $4,000 gun.
And I was worried about a $4,000 gun, which I think went for $4,000 or $5,000. So yeah.
That reminds me of a funny story. So I was doing a little fundraiser down in Cottonwood for, I don't know, the Chamber of Commerce or something, and I was doing the dessert auction. So they had told me beforehand, they said, hey, listen, it was one of the gals' birthdays that day. So they had a big box of the birthday cake in it. So they wanted me to auction it off as a mystery dessert. Nobody knows what's in it. So I had her husband and another guy in the crowd were set up on this thing. So I'm like, all right, you know, we don't know what's in there. Might be donuts, might be who knows. So who wants to start me on 100? So I get 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600. And she is getting madder and madder at her husband because it's $1,000 and he's still bidding and she is furious. I mean, furious with him. So then I said, come on up here, you know, let's see what you bought. And I said, come on, Debbie. And she wouldn't even come up. She wouldn't even come up to the front of the store. She was so mad. So she finally comes up there. We open the box and it says, happy birthday, Debbie. And we all sing to her, but she was beside herself.
I don't know why wives don't understand these things. Because at one of your auctions that you were at, and I was there, you had six golden retriever puppies.
Yes.
That was being sold.
That's not fair.
And they were walking them around. You always were holding the puppies and all this. And one of our great friends by the name of Ted Leidy, he's sitting right down the table from us.
I remember this.
He's bidding on this puppy. And Lisa, his wife, who, by the way, is an angel.
And loves cats.
She's looking at him, and then she's starting to say something to him, and he's, you know, Ted, he's smiling, nodding his head, what Ted wants. And he buys the puppy. And he told me, you know, he called me the next day, I got that puppy. And I went, no, no. He goes, yeah, I got the puppy. So, and he still has that puppy.
Ginger. She is a doll.
Yeah, and she rides around with him and everything. But when he's gone, like on these trips, it's Lisa's dog. But, you know, she takes good care of it.
Yeah.
So, but it was that night he's wanting to buy a puppy. Okay, hey, I'm here with Chris Gellstrom and Perry Crummins. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Oak Run was on the Rutherford Ranch. They wanted to blame the Rutherfords, but it wasn't the Rutherfords.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM from Man Up with Perry Crummins, Chris Gellstrom, our guest, and me, Carl Bott. We were talking about a poaching incident, but in case you just heard that.
Yeah,
and
I could explain.
Yeah, if they were trying to blame it on somebody, but it wasn't them.
No,
They pretty much knew, they thought.
Well, they were the owners of the ranch, and so it was found on their property, and, you know, I was friends with one of them, and they went to him, they said, hey, we know you did this, and they said, we didn't do this, for crying out loud, we wouldn't do it in the front of the front yard, and besides, we have a backhoe, so you wouldn't know if we did it. So,
yeah. I mean, I think somebody told me later on, they were pretty sure who did it. They just
exactly. Yeah. And that was actually before there was an elk season here in Chester.
Yeah, this was right after, I think, after I moved here, a couple years after I moved here, and this was a well-known elk.
Yeah.
And then somebody had poached it. I was on this Modoc Trail tribe ride back in August, and a lot of cattlemen out there. And the subject, and we kind of talked about it before, wolves.
Oh, boy.
And I know, and I said we're going to get into local politics, and I'm going to try not to.
That's actual national politics.
Well, it is. But the county of Shasta wrote a letter. Mm-hmm. Was it an emergency? Or
yes.
What was that exactly?
Yeah, I think it was a state of that, you know, we need to bring attention to it. So a couple of the other counties have done the same thing.
Oh, yeah, several of the counties.
Yeah, you'll enjoy this. So I was up in Modoc, too, a couple months ago, and we went to the hot springs there in Surprise Valley.
Yeah.
So I was on a big tour bus with a bunch of other supervisors and elected officials.
You didn't stay?
Well, no, we stayed in town, but this tour bus took us from Alturas down to Surprise Valley. I know. Yeah, go, exactly. Yeah. Anyways, so on the way in there, I see this big fish swimming underneath the water, you know, in one of the ponds in there. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go check that out, see what that is, you know. Well, we get the first guest speaker, and the cattlemen are going to speak next. So I walk over to that pond to go see what kind of fish there is. And there's a guy standing there in the at the pond looking in the water. And I walk up, and he goes, oh, there's fish in there. And I said, yeah, I saw one on the tour bus. I was wondering what they were. And he goes, well, there's a type of warm water sunfish that lives in these hot springs areas. And I look out there. And it's very apparent they're trout. I mean, it's that's plain as day they're fish. Trout, right? And I go, those are trout. I said, that has a salmonoid body. I said, those are trout. It's clearly trout. I said, you can't see that? And then I look at the guy's name tag to see who it is. Chuck Bonham, the head of Fish and Wildlife Service in California, the head honcho of the whole state. And I go, oh, okay. And he goes, did you have an issue you want to discuss? I said, well, not really. I said, but you might want to flip that name badge around because the next guest speaker is the Cattlemen Association. They're not real wild about you right now.
Well, you know, the thing that I heard from the cattle ranchers themselves, plus I had Mary and Jim Rickard on, and they kind of came to face there for a while because of the attacks they were having on their cattle.
Yeah,
but it has not gotten any. Yeah, it has not gotten any better. And I think now that but it seems like the fish and wildlife have realized we got a real problem here.
Well, the fish and wildlife realized, but not their commission. And that's the problem. Commission is these unelected.
Right.
I'll watch my words here.
Yeah.
But, so the commission is the one that's voted to do them. And I told, Chuck when we were talking, I said, you know what? I said, the cattlemen sued you and they should have won. I said, because these wolves are not native to California. And he says, oh, and I said, no. BS. We had Mexican gray wolves here. That's what the wolf species we had here. These are Canadian timber wolves, and they were never in California. They should not have protective species status.
And they're much bigger.
Much bigger.
Than, yeah. You know, you're looking at
40 Mexican, pounds to 50 pounds.
Yeah, bigger. You're looking at Mexican gray wolf. We're kind of like large coyotes.
Yeah, well, they're up to 200 pounds. They're enormous.
And but the ones we have here are, and, you know, it was funny. It was after we'd done that, one of my friends does natural resources down in Tehama County. And he had one of his people out tagging trees to be cut. And she heard a growling. She's looking around, tags another tree, some more growling. She leaves, brings back somebody. Didn't see anything, but they put cameras out there. Trail cameras caught. Now, this was in the Big Meadows. This is out there around Mineral. Is that right?
Yeah.
Out there in Tama County. And you've got the Ishki pack. I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Ishki, yeah.
Ishki pack. Well, this one was two adults and three cubs right outside Mineral in that big open, you know, meadow out there. There was a lot of cattle out there. They were there. Yeah. So they're thinking, well, that's another pack.
Well, I talked to Heather Hadwick on that same trip up in Modoc, and she's a cattle rancher, you know, that she does the Highlands. And she was saying that when they first started coming in here, first kind of introduced and moving around, 80% of their scat studies were venison,
right.
and 20% was bovine. She said that has now swapped.
In
now
2 years.
It's 80% bovine and 20% venison. I mean, they found out that it's a lot easier to catch cow than it is an elk.
Yeah, and it's a two-year thing. So, but it was interesting to talk to these cattle ranchers because they're very frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was a fish and wildlife guy there, and he was not afraid to speak up. He's been in the service a long time. He said there were 16 of them, of the wardens, in this one area. He said it was like a $2 million effort.
Hazing the
drones. Were,
hazing drones. And, you know, they're broken in, you know, so you had four. No, they can't shoot beanbags.
Oh, really?
Or they can't shoot rubber bullets.
At the wolves.
At the wolves because it'll leave a bruise. So, but he said, so we'd haze them off this one ranch, and they would go to the next ranch. And he says it was a total waste of time and money. And, you know, we can try and get in between them, but if nothing happens, the strips don't work, the strips are, you know, wave, because, you know, wolves are pretty smart.
They were
figure it out.
They have
even the drones without sound that just flew down to harass them. After the first couple of days, nothing.
Yeah. They have a program. I think they were talking in Siskiyou County where, you know, because some of these ranchers have these big lots that they lease from the Forest Service and stuff, and they might be 20,000, 30,000 acres. Well, you can't ride it the whole thing every day and protect your cows. So they actually have where collared wolves have, are coming into a certain area. They'll notify the rancher, hey, you might want to get in your northeast quadrant there because, you know, you're going to have some activity.
And they won't tell them their exact location, but they will tell them they're in that
general
area.
General vicinity.
Yes, and I think the ranchers can even see that on an app.
Yeah.
So at least that helps.
Eight hours. I think the soonest you can see it is 8 hours after.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
they don't have it in real time.
Okay.
They have it in real time, but they won't share it.
Well, and then they
said, I was talking in this program, it sounded like they were, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably as, you know, like the people that were paid to haze, they might have some sort of connection to the ranchers. Or, hey, they're here now.
The other thing on something like that is, you know, the fact is if it's late, it doesn't do you a lot of good. And they say, well, we'll get the dogs. How many dogs is it going to take, for 5,000 acres?
Not only
and
that.
One dog will get killed by a wolf pack.
Well, I've heard there's a type of guardian dog out there that they said will take on a wolf because I've been to a lot of the cattlemen's meetings and then I've been pretty into this whole subject. And now Corky, of course, is knee deep in it too.
Yeah.
And there was a type of a guardian dog that they said would take on wolves.
Don Armstrong of, does dog training. And canine training, and he told me he's got 6 or 7 of different types of these guard breeds, and I think he was talking about the one you're talking about, and that he's got them here for training. And he says it's where you get the Pyrenees that will literally ignore you, but will protect all your livestock. These dogs will not only protect the livestock, but would protect you too. Yeah. So he's brought some, he's imported some in too, but I just think it's a losing battle.
It is. And the ranchers up in Modoc, when I went up there now, they used to have mountain lion problems big time. That was all they had was mountain lion problems. You know, now they have mountain lion problems, they have wolf problems, and now they have bear problems, which they never had bears in Modoc County. In fact, you couldn't hunt bears in Modoc County because there's so few of them. But now they've got bears everywhere along with the wolves, along with the
Perry, they were talking about reopening this.
I believe they are because they're having that much trouble with them. Yeah.
Well, Perry, you've been a hunter a long time. Well, obviously Chris has too. The when they did away with the hunting of the bears with hounds, they say the hunting went down like 80%.
So they used to end bear season when either January 1st or when they killed 1,500 bears. They have never killed 1,500 bears since they stopped hunting them with hounds.
Okay. Yeah.
So every year.
And then the bear population keeps growing.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. And the bear's sense of smell is so good, it can find fawns that, say, wolves or other predators, mountain lions, couldn't find.
Yeah, so the current statistics are, they actually had to come up with a reinvented word called kleptoparatism. So what happens is a mountain lion goes out, or in this case maybe a wolf, a mountain lion goes out and kills a deer. So that mountain lion usually feeds on the organs that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes back the next day or 2 days later and feeds again, right?
Right.
Well, it kills one day, the bear eats it, takes the kill the next day, and then so the mountain lion has to go out again. So they predict that mountain lions are killing 6 times more deer than they normally would kill
because of
kleptoparatism.
Kleptoparatism.
That's what they call it. And in California right now, from here, Redding, the northwest corner of California has the highest density of bears in the world, apparently. 4 per square mile.
Yeah, I believe that.
Wow.
Did you see the Wild Horse Sanctuary when you were up there in Modoc County?
Yes.
So it was kind of cool. They had, when we toured that also while we were up there, and they had, I think.
Devil's Garden.
Yeah, Devil's Garden. And it's the Forestry Service doing it because that's the Forest Service jurisdiction, which normally is the BLM and with the Mustangs in Nevada.
Ordinarily.
Yeah. So anyways, but they're in the horse business and they're doing some fantastic work, but they had a mountain lion come in one night and kill 6 horses and just going on a feeding frenzy and killed 6 horses. So they had 4 mules there now, and they have not even seen a mountain lion on their camera since they got the mules.
Mules and donkeys, they are just death.
Oh, yeah.
On four-legged.
Yeah, absolutely. Predators.
On dogs, coyotes. You get a dog out there, and you got a donkey out there, that donkey will take your dog down.
I wonder how they do on wolves.
It'd be interesting because I'll tell you why. Because of the wolf pack comes in from the rear,
and
they'd be keeping them if they're busy in the front, because that's how they take them down. They take the rear down and start eating from right there while they're alive, too. But that would be interesting.
Yeah.
If you had 4 or 5 donkeys or burros.
Should they
or
protect
some
the
mules,
cows from a pack of
or
wolves?
Or some mules, yeah. Because mules aren't, will take on mountain lions,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So. They're finding up there now, though. Actually, you'd think that the wolves would go in on a cow with a calf or something like that. Mm-hmm. But actually what they're doing is they're carving out the yearlings, like the 500 or 600 pounders, and because they come out and they go single and run. So that's the cow they go after.
And I've read that also because it's more sport.
Well,
for
and
them.
The mom protects the calf,
yeah.
Right to the death, right? Well, the other problem they're having is they can't use cow dogs anymore because all the cows that are in turnout in the BLM, they encounter so much wolf activity, and when they come back, they can't work them with cow dogs. Because they won't work for the cow dogs. They just attack them.
And another side.
That's interesting, but that makes sense.
It
kind of makes sense.
Well, another
you know?
Side effect, too, yeah. Is these wolves are putting so much pressure and stress on these cows, a lot of them are aborting or not getting pregnant to begin with.
Yeah, they're losing weight. They're moving. They followed this one cow. What was it, 8 miles? And, you know, the cattle were, you know, being, they would just keep moving because of the wolves. Mm-hmm. And so they're not resting, they're not eating, they're just moving.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's take another break. I'm here with Chris Kelstrom and Perry Clemens, and we're here on Man Up.
I have. Hi, friends. RC here with this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Black Diamond by J.C. Newman. This exquisite tasting cigar offers 5-year aged tobaccos not found in any other cigar in the world. Made in the Dominican Republic to the highest standards of the Fuente family farms. Mature notes of cedar, spice, and dark chocolate prevail. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join me, Mark Levin, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. KCNR, your talk radio.
Donald Trump is doing something that's never been done in American history. Now, what Trump is trying to do all at once, he wants to, what I call, reindustrialize America.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
KCNR, your talk radio.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
By God's dear grace.
Hey, welcome back to Man Up here. There's something about that, I guess that commercial for John Cruise Outdoors that my traffic person really likes because it got loaded like 3 times. Okay. Hey, welcome back to Man Up here, Carl Bott, and I'm here with Perry Crimmins and Chris Kelstrom. Chris came in one day, you know, for something else, and he says, I really like that show. I'd like to be on it. Well, come on down. Yeah. And if you would like, whoever you are out there, if you'd like to be on the show and just come on in here and sit with us and...
All it takes is a bottle of bourbon.
Well, if you bring in a bottle of bourbon, you for sure be here. But don't look down at us for people that might drink. A little.
A sip.
Now and then. Okay. What else is going on?
We're
staying away from local politics because that's not what the show's really about.
So we have some local culture this weekend with the Redding Roots Festival.
Oh, yeah.
They've done it. Don Red and his music around this town is incredible.
19 bands.
Yeah.
If you have not been to Redding Roots, please take the opportunity. You can get a 3-day pass, or you can just go down for one day. Take the opportunity to go down and listen to these bands. Different locations. All down here, though, right around, right up the block from us, right here.
Yeah, Market. Or if you're like Carl and I, you can listen to it while you're doing your yard work.
Yeah, my yard work.
The Manton Apple Festival is October 4th down in Manton. I was a guest pie judge for the last 2 years. I'm not going to be one this year, but as last 2 years.
I thought you might be baking a pie because you're looking for celebrity pie.
No, last year I sampled 35 pies.
Oh my.
Okay.
Yeah.
Linda and I were enticed into being a Dutch oven cooking contest at the fair. Got enticed into being judges there for 2 years in a row. And I asked, we'd never done that. And I asked the guy that was putting it on, okay, what's the secret? And he goes, don't take more than one bite. and which he didn't really understand why, except there's like 12 people competing and they bring in bread, the main dish, and a dessert. 36, different types of food. You learn, just take that one bite, maybe two at the most, because you by the time you get to number 12, 13, or 14, unless you go outside and throw up.
The Tama County Sheriff, Dave Kane, and myself were the two of the guests last year. So we, you judge the appearance and then you judge the filling and you judge the crust and you make your, so we would just basically take a little bite of each one.
Yeah.
Michael Quinn, and I'm going to say he's nuts because he's a good friend of mine, so it's not slander, but Michael Quinn.
Oh, no. Michael Quinn and I go back 16 years. That's who we bought the signal from. You can say anything you want about Mikey.
So I love Michael Quinn, but he eats the whole slice. 35 times the whole slice. He says he doesn't eat for 2 days afterwards. Now, last year he ate 33 slices because two people decided to put jalapenos in their apple pies. I guess they wanted to stand out, which they did. They were last and second to last. But those are the only two slices. Mike didn't eat the whole slice.
Well, you know what? Okay, when we bought the station, Mike still had his station going in, and he says, you get invited to a lot of places that has food. And I didn't understand what he meant, but you get invited to lunches and all this as guests and all that. He never missed one. Ever missed one. And Mike, I don't know if you're listening now, you can always listen to the archives.
Love
you,
Mike.
But we do love you, Mike. He,
absolutely.
He's been such a, such a big assist to us for so many, it still is.
He's probably fasting now, getting ready for October 4th.
You know what? We laugh, but it didn't surprise me. Because it's something that Mike's a big guy. He's not big, a heavy guy. He's just, he's tall. Like 6'2", 6'3". And, when you said that, I wasn't surprised. I'll tell Linda about it. She won't be surprised. Anyway, okay. We got the Red and Roots Festival. You got Manton coming up. You've got the Stillwater Powwow. If you've never been to that, you need to go on Friday night.
Yep.
It's free. It's down to Redding Rodeo Grounds. Plenty of parking. Get up in the stands. Get a little bit higher in the stands. Don't get right down in the boxes because you can get in the boxes. But you're not going to see the whole thing. When they do their grand entry, there's got to be, 150, maybe more dancers coming in. Full regalia. And the drumming and the chanting, it's unbelievable.
Tomorrow night?
No, it'll be October 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I think it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
Plus, they got all the vendors out there, so you can get your yearly amount of Indian fried bread and the Indian taco and all that. But there's another big event that's coming.
And Carlos is having a bull riding this coming Saturday night, too.
Yeah. In case you didn't know it, EC Zapata has become a stock contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a chance to talk to him the other day because we had a get-together before we all went up to the ride. And he wasn't going on the ride, but he was there. And he was telling me about the being a stock contractor. And, it's not an easy. It's not – you've got to have quality animals – and you're competing against people been in the business for decades.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of started his own there. So, and he has a lot of events out on Silver Bridge Road.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a wild cow riding this time.
That's a new one.
Wild cow. Three man teams. the cow comes out, you got it stopped, you got to have it stopped long enough so somebody to get on it and ride
it
for 3 seconds.
Rope the head, grab the tail, and have somebody climb on his back.
And stay on for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And you think, 3 seconds. Let me tell you, if you've never ridden a steer or a bull before, yeah, you know, 3 seconds, that's hours.
Yeah, 1 second in the air is a long time.
Especially when you're kind of rotating and you're seeing as you're rotating that the bull has not left.
Yeah. And you're going to smack down
on going,
something.
And you're coming down and you're going, well, I hope he's in a better mood than he was 3 seconds ago.
He had his stock out there at the fair too. On Friday night at the fair, he had a bull riding thing out there. Uh-huh. And I don't know what it was about those bulls, but man, they were extra spicy. So, you know, normally they kick the rider off and once in a while they'll go out after the rider, but you know, usually the clowns can get them away from there. But those bulls, I mean, people were climbing up in the fence and they were up on top of the fence and they were reaching up there and knocking them off the fence. I mean, they were going after everybody. So,
well, that can happen.
Yeah. At the
Pendleton Roundup, you may have seen it on TV or even been there. It's kind of like Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, except it's G-rated and it's cowboy hats. I mean, that's how many, I mean, you get a lot of people there.
And every one of them comes off their head when they sing the national anthem.
Too. Every time.
Every
and
one. And
everybody's standing up just like we are here at our rodeos and you see this. And when the prayer. But they, because it's grass and dirt, the horses and bulls will come out used to the dirt. They'll hit that grass, and some of them will change how they buck. They'll spin or something like that. But for the bull riding, they put this plastic fence out, and they also have spectators sitting on the infield. But they're all the contestants and members of the Pendleton Roundup Association, and one bull went through there, freight trained one guy, you know, they got, you know, everybody scattering and they got the bull back in, but it's quite an event. What it shows you though is when a town turns into, you know, I mean, what you can do in a city or a town and you want to buy into something like this. I mean, a week long of thousands of people coming in there, vendors, four bands going at one time in the big, you know, down the city streets and all this. It's a moneymaker.
Did you ever hear the Jeff Davis and Christy Noom story? So, you know, we had that Cottonwood Rodeo during COVID, and we were the only ones in the whole nation that had a rodeo. I mean, so we now have the longest continuously running rodeo in the nation, right? Well, Jeff Davis, who puts it on, was at the PBR the next year, or NFR, excuse me, and but they held it in Texas because COVID. They couldn't hold it in Vegas or whatever. So
yeah.
Christy Noem was there, which is, you know, the governor of South Dakota, who did not close down her state. So Jeff thought, man, I'd really like to meet her. You know, I'm never going to get a better opportunity. So I don't know if he walked over, rode over, or whatever. But anyways, he went over to her and he said, hey, Miss Noem, I just want to thank you for being a great American. And, you know, I really appreciate what you've done. And he says, my name's Jeff Davis. And she says, well, thank you, Jeff. She says, where are you from? And he says, well, I'm from a little town up in Northern California called Cottonwood. And she goes, you all had a rodeo, didn't you?
her first book, Not My First Rodeo, I don't know if you had a chance to read
not.
It. It's really interesting how she came up on the ranch and all this and where her foundation came from. And I didn't read her second book, but I don't know why. But it was interesting to see what formed her into, you know, and then getting into politics and her family supporting her the way they have. She's a very, very interesting. Don't write this woman off. I mean, she's still young.
Yeah.
She's very bright.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's the thing we're blessed with and during that Kirk Memorial, all the staff that spoke.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, every speech was awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hope, and I think y'all are gonna, I think y'all are addressing, okay, here's my politics. I think y'all are addressing how decorum and addressing each other at the county.
So the supervisors themselves are, yes, it's
okay.
It's much better. You know, we still have disagreements and stuff, and even in closed session we'll have some disagreements, but we talk like adults and talk through them and realize that we can have a difference of opinion. We don't have to change everybody's mind, and we don't have to call names to somebody that has a different opinion from us. So it's quite the turnaround from the last two
years. Is it going to be put in writing or something like that? Did I see that?
Well, I think City of Shasta Lake did that, put one in writing because of their form of
theirs. Yeah, what you can't do and all this.
Right.
But just what you said, being able to talk to each other, if we don't take anything out of here tonight except some of the great things and some of Willett's here. The fact is I can disagree with Chris, yeah, and I do on some things. And Perry and I and Ted, we talk
about it. We don't call each other whatever.
No, yeah, I mean, and at the end of it, well, let's just have a shot, and move on. I mean, you're not going to change everybody's mind, but you don't have to vilify them.
100%.
You can't make them an object.
Yeah.
As soon as you make an object, they lose their humanness. So anyway, just some philosophy from man up.
Socrates.
There you go. Hey, everybody, have a great evening. It's going to start to cool off now. Maybe a chance of rain next week. Have a great weekend. Like we said, Reading Roots is going on. Do yourself a favor and grab a wristband for that. I think it's readingrootsfestival.com maybe org.
Starts tomorrow night.
Have a great evening, and God bless America.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River.